Hey, everybody, and welcome to another deep dive. This time we're heading back to ancient Judah, a kingdom that's really teetering on the edge of collapse, and we'll be using excerpts from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings to help us along the way. Let me tell you, the stories of these final kings of Judah, man, they're full of drama, intrigue, and some pretty hard-hitting lessons about leadership and the legacies we leave behind. It really gets you thinking. What choices are we making today that might echo through generations to come?
It's a truly captivating period, you know,
yeah.
A time filled with internal struggles and this looming threat from these massive empires all around. These kings, they were faced with some incredibly difficult choices, and their decisions had a huge impact, not just on them, but on the whole nation.
So Dr. Oswalt really kicks things off by discussing King Manasseh and, well, let's just say he wasn't exactly a saint, was he? Oswalt actually suggests that Manasseh's sins had a ripple effect that lasted for generations and in the end played a part in Judah's downfall. How is it that one king's actions could have such a huge and lasting impact? It's almost like you're blaming that very first domino for the whole chain reaction.
That's a fantastic point. Think of it this way. Manasseh's reign, it lasted for over 50 years. And during all that time, he didn't just commit terrible acts, but he actually established these whole patterns of idolatry and wickedness that became so ingrained in Judean society.
Yeah.
Even after he was gone, those patterns continued to influence the choice of the people who came after him. It's almost like setting a ship on a specific course. Even when you get a new captain, the ship is going to keep going in that direction unless somebody makes a conscious effort to steer it onto a new path.
Ah, I see. So it's not just about what individuals choose to do, but also this kind of societal momentum that carries things forward, right?
For right.
better or worse. Which makes you think about Manasseh's grandson, Josiah. He was famous for being devout and making these big religious reforms. So did he actually manage to change course, or was he fighting an uphill battle against that momentum you just mentioned?
Josiah's reign was a really remarkable period of spiritual revival. I mean, he tore down idols, he reinstated temple worship, and really tried to lead the people back to God. But as we'll see, that pull of the past remains strong. It was like trying to turn this gigantic ship around. It takes time, it takes effort, and a whole lot of commitment. Sadly, it seems like the reforms didn't completely take root.
And that leads us to Josiah's sons. He had three, if I remember correctly. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. And get this, not a single one of them decided to follow in their father's footsteps. Talk about some family drama, right? It makes you wonder about how they were brought up. You'd think growing up with Josiah as their father would have had a bigger impact, wouldn't you?
It is a pretty interesting twist. Dr. Oswalt actually suggests that we should consider the mothers and their influence. He points out that these were foreign wives, so they might have had very different beliefs and values. And you have to remember, even back then, lineage was traced through the mother. So their upbringing might have exposed them to different cultural and religious influences than Josiah would have wanted.
So it's possible their mothers, whether they meant to or not, kind of planted these seeds that pulled them in a different direction than their father. Makes you think about the influences we have in our own lives, doesn't it? Like, are we aware of those subtle ways we're being shaped by the people around us and the environment we're in?
It's a question worth pondering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you think about those in positions of power. To what extent are their choices influenced by the people they grew up with, their advisors, and just the general cultural trends of the time?
Okay, let's talk about each of these sons in more detail. First up, we've got Jehoahaz, whose reign was, well, how do I put this? Let's just say it was short-lived. What exactly happened there?
Jehoahaz only ruled for 3 months before the Egyptians kicked him out. Not exactly a great start. Then you have his brother, Jehoiakim, who's a completely different story. He was a true politician through and through, always playing both sides, you know, shifting allegiances between Egypt and Babylon, depending on who seemed like they had the upper hand.
Jehoiakim, that name, it just sends shivers down my spine. Dr. Oswalt talks about this incredible story from Jeremiah, where Jehoiakim literally takes the scroll containing God's messages and burns it. I mean, how do you even process that? It feels like such a blatant act of defiance, like he was rejecting God's authority completely. Do you think deep down he really believed he could just erase God's words like that?
It really highlights the danger of becoming closed off to the truth. You know, here's Jehoiakim living this life of luxury in his winter palace, and he just casually destroys God's word as if it's nothing. It's almost as if he was trying to convince himself that God's words had absolutely no power over him.
It's such a stark contrast to Josiah, his own father. Remember how Josiah reacted when he first heard the words of Deuteronomy? He tore his clothes in anguish and immediately repented. What do you think caused such completely different responses? Was it just their personalities, or was there something more going on?
That's an interesting question. It makes you think about the things that shape how open we are to the truth.
Right?
Are we open to being challenged, to potentially changing our minds, or are we more likely to just dig in our heels and hold on to our own views, even when they could be harmful?
You know what? It's like Jehoiakim had embraced the cynical worldview. He had just decided that truth was whatever he wanted it to be, regardless of what God was saying. It's kind of unsettling, isn't it? To think about how easily we can fall into that kind of thinking, where we twist things to fit our own narratives.
It's definitely a cautionary tale. It reminds us to be careful, to always examine our own hearts and make sure we're not becoming so cynical or jaded that we completely lose sight of what is truly good and true.
Okay, so we've got Jehoiakim, the power-hungry one. Last but not least, we have Zedekiah, the youngest brother. What kind of ruler was he?
Unfortunately, Zedekiah's reign was full of indecision and a lack of clear leadership. He was easily swayed by those around him, always wavering between those who wanted to rebel against Babylon and those who advised caution. Not exactly the kind of qualities you'd want in a king who's facing off against this powerful empire.
So basically, he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But even then, don't we always have a choice in how we respond to those pressures? I mean, look at his father, Josiah. He had his fair share of challenges too, but he managed to lead with conviction and make some tough decisions.
You're absolutely right. There's always a choice. And it's fascinating to think about how even seemingly small choices can have a ripple effect that can shape the course of history. In Zedekiah's case, his inability to make a clear decision ultimately led to the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile.
Wow, that's heavy stuff. So we've got these three brothers, Jehoahaz, who barely had time to rule, Jehoiakim, who basically thumbed his nose at God, and Zedekiah, who just crumbled under pressure. It feels like Dr. Oswald is painting a pretty bleak picture of leadership during this time. Would you agree?
It was definitely a turbulent and challenging period. And you're right, it does raise some tough questions about the nature of leadership. Are we just products of our circumstances, tossed around by forces we can't control? Or do we actually have the power to rise above those challenges and make choices that could lead to a better outcome?
And what about the impact our choices have on the generations that come after us? We've seen how Manasseh's sins cast a long shadow over Judah, even with Josiah's attempts to reform things. Does that mean we're all just destined to repeat the mistakes of the past?
That's a really great question, and one that we'll dig into deeper in the next part of our deep dive. We'll explore the whole concept of legacy, how free will plays into these historical forces, and whether it's possible to break free from these destructive patterns to create a more hopeful future.
You know, it's really easy to just sit here and judge these kings,
right?
Especially knowing how their stories ended. But like we've been talking about, the choices they made, it wasn't like they were operating in some kind of bubble. They had all these crazy political pressures to deal with, conflicts within their own kingdom, and the weight of what their ancestors had done before them. It almost makes you wonder, how much freedom of choice do they actually have? Was it like they were just actors following a script that was already written for them?
That's such an interesting question, and it really goes to the core of how the ancient Israelites viewed history. They truly believed that each person had the ability to make their own choices, but at the same time, they also saw God as this active force working through all the events. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a case of one or the other. They saw it as this complex dance between both.
So it was like they were actors on a stage, but with the freedom to improvise their lines a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And God was both the playwright and the director, kind of guiding the whole story along.
That is a brilliant analogy. It really captures that tension between what individuals can do and this bigger divine plan. The kings had choices to make, absolutely, but those choices played out within a context that was shaped by God's purposes. Every decision, every action they took, it all contributed to the bigger picture of history, even if they couldn't fully grasp it at the time.
Which brings us to this concept of legacy, something we touched on a bit earlier. These kings, whether they were trying to or not, they left a permanent mark on Judah. The decisions they made had consequences that stretched way beyond their own lifetimes. It's pretty humbling when you think about it, the idea that even our small actions can have these huge ripple effects that we might not even fully understand.
It's both humbling and empowering, you know.
Right.
Humbly because it reminds us that we're not the center of everything, that our choices have an effect on everyone around us. But it's also empowering because it means that even when we're faced with these seemingly impossible challenges, we still have the power to make a difference.
Let me bring this back to our listeners for a second. You might not be a king or a queen, but in your own way, you're still a leader. Whether it's in your family, your job, or your community, your actions have a ripple effect. You're creating a legacy, whether you realize it or not.
Precisely. We all have this sphere of influence, a circle of people that we interact with and influence in some way. And the everyday choices we make, how we treat other people, the values we stand by, the example we set, they all add up to create a larger narrative, a legacy that lives on even after we're gone.
Dr. Oswalt really emphasizes how easy it is to slip into the same patterns as the people who came before us, you know, to just become complacent, to go with the flow. But he also makes it clear that it's important for each of us to take responsibility for our actions and to remember that we have the power to choose. It's like he's urging us to be more intentional, to be more aware of how our choices affect the world around us.
It's a delicate balancing act, isn't it? We are shaped by our surroundings, by the choices of those who came before us, but we also have this ability to break free from harmful patterns and forge a new path. It takes courage, it takes being self-aware, and it takes a willingness to step outside of what's comfortable.
It reminds me of those times when I've felt like I was just getting swept along by events and had zero control over the situation. Have you ever felt like that? Like you were caught in this current that was pulling you in a direction you didn't want to go? What'd you do to get through that?
Oh, for sure. I think we all have those moments where circumstances just seem to be overwhelming us. But I think the key is to remind ourselves that even in those situations, we still have a choice. We can choose how we react, how we think about the situation, and how we decide to move forward. It might not be easy, but we can always find a way to take back some control over our own story.
So to sum things up for our listeners, we've been talking about this concept of societal momentum and how the choices people made way back when can still influence things today. We've explored this back and forth between how much responsibility each individual has versus the forces of history that are at play. And we've talked about the power of legacy and how our actions, no matter how big or small, can have these lasting effects that we might not even see. Out of everything we've discussed, what would you say is the most important takeaway for you?
You know, for me, it's realizing that we're not just passively watching history unfold. We actually have the power to choose, to act with purpose, and to shape our own destinies, and even leave a positive mark on the world. We're all part of this grand story, and each of us has a role to play in writing the next chapter.
Okay, so we've been digging into these kings, right? Talking about their choices, all the political stuff, the family drama, and, you know, the whole idea of leaving a legacy behind. But I feel like there's this other side to their story that we haven't really touched on yet. I'm talking about the spiritual side of things. Dr. Oswalt really hammers this home in his lectures. It's like all the political scheming and battles and stuff are happening against this backdrop of Judah's relationship with God.
That's a really crucial point, you know. It's so easy to get lost in all those historical details and forget about the spiritual struggle that's at the very heart of this story.
One thing that really stood out to me is how quickly and easily the people of Judah just fell into idolatry. Dr. Oswalt even suggests that maybe this tendency toward idolatry is kind of baked into human nature. What are your thoughts on that? It almost makes it sound like straying from God is the easy option, you know?
It's a really interesting idea, isn't it? When you think about it, it makes sense. I mean, it's so much easier to worship something you can actually see and touch, something that feels like you can control, rather than putting your faith in a God you can't see, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like we're hardwired to look for something solid to cling to, something that gives us this sense of security.
So it's like always choosing the path of least resistance, following the crowd, going with whatever feels comfortable, even if it ends up leading you away from what you know is right.
Exactly. And that's a struggle that we still face today. Think about all the messages we're bombarded with all the time. Money, status, power. It takes a lot of effort to resist those temptations and stay focused on the things that truly matter. It's like we're constantly being pulled in a million directions and we have to decide which path we're going to choose.
So then how do we navigate this world that's always competing for our attention? How do we avoid falling into the same traps as those kings? I mean, they had prophets, they had priests, all sorts of spiritual guidance, and they still managed to mess things up.
Well, Dr. Oswalt really stresses the importance of spiritual discipline. And he's not just talking about showing up for religious services or going through the motions. He's talking about nurturing a real and deep connection with God, seeking guidance in every area of your life, and letting those values shape your choices. It's about making a conscious decision to align yourself with what's good and true, even when it's tough.
So it's not about being perfect. It's more about intentionality.
Yeah.
Like always checking your compass and making sure you're heading in the right direction.
That's it. Exactly. It's an ongoing journey, not some destination you reach. And of course, there will be times when you stumble, when you make bad choices or get swept away. But the key is to learn from those mistakes, get back on track, and keep striving for growth and change.
It sounds like you're talking about building a spiritual legacy. What values are we living out? What impact are we having on the world around us? What will people remember us for?
Those are some really great questions. This whole story of the kings of Judah reminds us that our actions have consequences that can last for generations. We have this responsibility to think not just about ourselves, but about the people who come after us. What kind of world are we leaving them? What are we planting now that will grow and have an impact in the future?
It's a powerful thing to think about, isn't it? We're all weaving this tapestry of history together, and every single thread, every choice we make adds to the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And it's also a good reminder that even when things seem hopeless or impossible to change, we still have the power to make a difference. We can choose to be part of something good, to leave behind a legacy of faith, honesty, compassion, and courage.
Well, I think we've definitely covered a lot of ground today. We went all the way back to ancient Judah, explored the lives of some pretty complicated kings, and wrestled with some big questions about leadership, legacy, and the choices we make. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I would just say this. Take some time to reflect on your own life and the influence you have on the people around you. What kind of legacy are you creating? What choices are you making right now that will shape the future? And always remember, even the smallest acts of kindness, courage, and integrity can have a much bigger impact than you could ever imagine.
That's a fantastic way to wrap things up. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep making a difference in the world. We'll see you on our next Deep Dive.